Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Theater Podcast, intimate personal conversations with the industry's biggest names. I'm your host, Alan Seals, and our guest today is Jelani Ramey, who is this completely humble guy who seems truly called to actually educating and giving back, right? He wants to continue to teach and to work with youth and just to inspire. It's really a fun conversation we had with him. We have a fun comparison between spending 7 years in Lion King and in playing Simba, an iconic fictitious character, versus Eddie Kendricks in Ain't Too Proud, a real life guy from The Temptations. Just the ability to compare and contrast those two roles was actually quite fun. But he's in an upcoming speaker series out in New Jersey that you got to check out. Can't wait to share this with you. As always, find me online on Instagram, Twitter, and now like TikTok, and connect with me. Leave a rating, leave a review. Let me know you're listening. And everybody, please enjoy this episode with Jelani Ramey.
Here you go. One, two, three.
Our guest today is a New Jersey native, possibly best known for his 3 years as Simba in the Broadway, national tour, and Vegas companies of Disney's Lion King, as well as parts in Disney's High School Musical and High School Musical 2, Parade, Cabaret, and recent off-Broadway production of Smokey Joe's Cafe. He was also Eddie Kendricks in the Broadway production of Ain't Too Proud, and will be the guest in the upcoming Broadway lecture series at Stageworks at Studio 237 on March 11th. Jelani Ramey, welcome to the Theater Podcast.
That was so beautifully said. Oh my gosh.
Well, thank you.
That was so great.
It's all your work, man.
Thank you so much. I mean, it's great to be here. Hi, everybody. It is a thrill.
So where did you start out with your love for theater? Because obviously we're going to get into Lion King, and I'm sure everybody asked about that. But I want to know, little Jelani, like, what made you look up to, did you look up on a stage? Did you see a movie and you were like, that's it, that's what I need to be?
Well, you know, I was a kid who always loved to sing and create. And I was sort of that kid that like asked my parents for a school set so I can play school in my playroom by myself with my stuffed animals. You laugh, but I want to play homework. Well, I just loved I loved playing the role of. I loved stepping into the role of. Or so I was the head teacher. And I had all my stuffed animals be my students, and I was like grading papers. I was doing tests. I was really committed to the craft, but I didn't know what it was. But in hindsight, that was acting. That was sort of diving into the musical theater world because I love music and I love playing. And it was actually my chorus teacher in middle school, high school, Jen Jessen, who sort of pushed me to do my first musicale, which was Grease. And I got the role of, you guessed it, Duty. And and I got to play that role. And he had a song. Duty has a song called Those Magic Changes. And I practiced it. And I remember like it was our dress rehearsal for our friends at school. And I got to sing it in front of the school. And they clapped for me. And I've never felt anything like that before. I never felt that sort of rush, that sort of excitement of like giving your all to something that you work so hard for in this craft that you sort of dabbled in throughout your life, you know, but now it's come to fruition where you got to do the process. And I fell in love with it instantaneously and knew that like that's what I wanted to keep doing.
Wow. Wow. Grease, man. Well,
the all-American musical about changing yourself so people like you. There's that. But also it was about like what theater does for kids in high school. Like I finally felt like I belonged somewhere, you know, like I was a floater. I had a lot of friends in all different areas. I played the sports too. Like I was that jack of all trades. That's what they call it. Jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I would sing the national anthem in my football uniform, my gear. I'd climb up the bleachers in the cleats. And I remember my coach at Sod Lock would be like, son, go up there and sing that anthem, but don't do any of that ooh, ah, ah stuff. You sing it like it's supposed to be sung straightforward. You understand? And like, ooh, ah, ah. He didn't want any of the runs. But like, I got to perform while, you know, being on JV. But I loved Ed Sadlock because he taught us such discipline with love and like structure. So everything he said had such a gravitas to it. So like I wanted to make him proud, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like a good coach. You know what I mean?
He's a great coach. And I think that's also why now I love teaching still to this day, not from playing by myself in my playroom, but from having great teachers and mentors along the way that were rooting for me and sort of giving me tough love, but also like opening up my potential and really throwing me out there.
Did you, were you an only child? Do you have any siblings?
In my mind I was, but there were four other siblings around me.
I was expecting you to say you were an only child because when you're like playing school by yourself, I thought you...
Is that fun for siblings to play school? No, they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to do that. No, it was a solo mission. And I was also the youngest. So I felt like I now know that I'm the youngest because my parents finally got the mix right. But the other ones are fantastic individuals in their own respective fields. But we're all super close. But no, nobody wanted to play school with me. But we did play like mobsters or like Three Ninjas. Like I definitely did Mortal Kombat with my brothers, like things like that. Which in sight was acting.
Oh, absolutely.
It surely was. Or like we definitely thought we were Boys to Men at one time. I'll never forget, like one time our parents like left us home alone because my eldest brother was watching us and we were doing like Boys to Men and I was dancing on the coffee table and it shattered and the concert was over. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The concert was over and we had to wait till our parents got home and they got in trouble and not me because, you know, I was the wee one. But like,
yeah, you were the youngest. You were just going along with what they said.
You know what I mean?
I hear that. As the oldest child, I know what you're talking about. I feel
totally,
you.
Totally.
So totally. I got in trouble all the time for things that I allowed my brother to do.
But now what's great is that they support me to no end. You know, they really skyrocketed my career, you know, from babysitting till now. So it's nice that they get to see this journey. And that's one of the main things also is fun is getting to like, yes, I've gotten to explore the world with shows, but like what's so fun now is bringing it back home. So I love the fact that I'm able to do, you know, this talk back with Robert near my hometown. So people like can just see my evolution and see where I'm at home.
Right. Right. Robert Bannon, who is the creator of the Broadway lecture series. Right. So like talk more about that for a second, because you're from New Jersey. And now like is this a local theater? Is this like what kind of space?
So this is Robert's scenario. I've never been. This is Robert's situation where he loves to bring, you know, Broadway talent to, you know, the area. And I think that it's great, especially that it's someone like me who's come from the area. I think it's a really nice way to sort of have a laid back conversation and you're going to learn some new things. I'm going to tell you some new things that are happening in my life that are really exciting that's coming up. And also just to say thank you and to really put a face to the name, because I feel like as I get riper, I'm not going to say older, I'm going to say riper. There's a new
wiser generation.
I love that. There's a new generation of theater performers that are in the schools that have heard about me or heard about, you know, shows. But like I love meeting the people. You know, and like meeting the next generation of artists or people that even appreciate what we do. So it's exciting to sort of come home and have a proper meet and greet.
You mentioned, I mean, performing around the world and whatnot, and being in Lion King, I feel like it's like an institution right now because it's this giant machine. There are these shows that have been around for now literal decades.
I mean, 25 years.
Right, right. Yeah, so 25 years of Lion King, you got Wicked and Aladdin and just a handful of others. I think, you know, Hamilton's going to be running, I think, forever as well. But like, do you remember the first time you saw Lion King as like when you were younger?
Of course.
I mean, so then getting to play Simba.
Iconic.
Right.
Yeah. So I got the show. I was doing another show for Disney. I was doing High School Musical out of college. It was the best experience ever. I was scared, shitless, you know, to sort of go into this theater world that I liked, but I didn't know the potential. I loved, rather, but I didn't know the potential of it. And being in a Disney show is just the most incredible experience because nobody does a show like them. And also, like, we were at the pinnacle of, like, the High School Musical phase with the world. Right. We were treated like rock stars. And I got to learn so much from such amazingly talented and kind people. And then we did High School Musical 2 after that, which was, it didn't go where we wanted it to go. You know what I mean? I'll say that. It's a sequel. It's a
sequel.
But it didn't go where we wanted it to go. But then my Lion King journey was so beautiful. And I mean, people know the story. You said I did the show on Broadway for a little over 3 years, but I was in the company in the Las Vegas production and the national tour for a collective of 7 years.
Wow.
So I definitely grew up with the Lion King. And I feel like this role has become so near and dear to my life and my heart. And it's a family thing for me. And I had the opportunity to go to Abu Dhabi a few months ago to play Simba out there. So the show always has little reminders, and I got to perform with, like, the king of Saudi Arabia. And the show has just really given me such amazing experiences, but also, like, so many attachments. And I don't think it'll ever leave my life. And I don't want it to. The show is just, it changed me. It really did.
What was it like moving into a show, I guess that was such an established, it's an established, like you said, it's iconic. It's one of the things that, where you think of what's on Broadway now, Lion King is one of the first things people are going to mention.
That's right. And there's a reason, because the show has so many great messages and so many great things to see and feel. I think that's what people love most about the show, is that you feel it. And for me to step into it, I was first cast as the back legs of the rhinoceros. Yeah. I was the bum. Yeah.
The rhinoceros ass.
But look at that journey from starting from, you know, a buttocks to the king, you know, which is awesome because I got to learn how the show worked and the appreciation of the ensemble of any show, you know, but especially so like The Lion King. It was just wonderful. And it grew my passion. It grew my sort of devotion to it. And I think that, you know, being part of it, I then learned how to put myself into it. And I got to put Jelani into my Simba and do things that made me laugh. I'll tell you that what I also did is that the kids, there's two young Simbas, then they trade off because of child labor laws. They're only in the shows for a certain amount of time and they grow so fast. So, like, it's like once you get, they leave so quickly. But I made it my mission to study each individual kid. And anytime one was on, I would do his little, like, whatever I carried from watching him into my performance. And I kept it fresh and exciting. And they always grew and evolved and changed. And I got to study it a little bit and make it sort of fresh and exciting for myself as well. But then also putting my Jelani-isms and making it true to myself. I think that's how I was able to stay with it for so long.
Oh, that's so much fun.
So fun.
I wouldn't even think about mirroring the little kids. But yeah, you're right, because
I'm a nuanced actor, you know what I mean? I'm a nuanced performer. So.
Do you see, like, the future of, I mean, it's a cheesy question, but it's, I don't know any other way to say it, like the future of Broadway, the future of performing. When we used to be able to do stage doors all the time, right? And you come out and Lion King is a family show, right? And
yeah.
And you would come out stage door, see all these kids. I'm sure there was kids there that would, like, just look up to you and you're like, holy crap, like, this is somebody that looks like me on the stage doing Broadway, doing a movie I love or a show that I love or whatever. Like, do you remember the first time, like, that sort of clicked for you of, like, I'm inspiring these people to be something they never thought they could be before?
I get surprised all the time still by people saying, like, you know, I saw you do this, and like, or like, oh, so I'm working on the show where I'm on the other side of the table and I'm helping out a creative team, and one boy came in and looked at me and his jaw dropped, and I was like, hi, I'm Jelani. He goes, I know who you are. It's an honor to audition for you. And he came and shook my hand, and the rest of the table was shook. Like, they were like, what? You know? But I know that feeling because I had that feeling, you know, when I used to see people at the stage door, you know, and I used to, you know, be in awe and see myself, you know, in these actors, and they used to take the time to smile at me. And that's all it takes, is that connection. And I think that's wonderful. In the future now, I think we should, if stage doors can't happen, like, I vow to you that I will create some sort of virtual stage door or some sort of thing. But that's the great thing about social media is now you can connect with your fans and friends very easily. Yeah, RIP stage doors. But I think that they're coming back. I think that they're coming back in a fashion. There's nothing like it. I think it's important to connect and important to like sign every playbill and sign, you know, take the pictures, take the selfies because they are memories.
They're memories and they're moments where if you walk away with a positive emotional attachment to it, that you're going to think back on it. You're like, you know, I went to see the show and is it going to be like the greatest thing I ever did or a moderately okay thing I did? And then like, I think all the icing on the cake around the stage door and your experiences with the people who gave you that magic, I think are only going to add to it, right?
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned for more of the episode.
There are so many things in life that stress me out. You know what shouldn't stress me out? Eating. So we can all eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options for all dietary needs. And you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and even some drinks to help you stay fueled up. Factor is also celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month's Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Say that 5 times fast. Earth Month Eats. Earth Month Eats. Just remember these no fuss, no mess meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So just simply heat and eat the good stuff. Head to factormeals.com/TTP50 and use code TTP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code TTP50 at factormeals.com/TTP50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Great
expectations. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Like, I'll never forget one time I was doing a stage door for Smokey Joe's when stage doors were a thing. And I was doing Smokey Joe's and this girl was seeing the show and she came in from Japan. And she just came to me crying like she loved the show so much and she had a poster. And someone handed her a Sharpie and she couldn't believe that I would sign her poster. And she just started like shaking, like, oh my God. And like, she went nuts. But like in that moment, like it was nothing for me, but like then thinking back, like, wow, what a cool connection now that we have. And of course, because it's now somebody filmed that reaction and I it makes me giggle to this day.
So, I mean, Lion King itself is an iconic show. Simba's an iconic role. And then Ain't Too Proud being Eddie Kendricks, being an iconic person, a real life
another
person.
One. Yeah, yeah.
Because you're moving into the show like Ain't Too Proud. Ain't Too Proud had a respectable run for a couple years, right?
I mean, I say gone too soon, but yeah, it had a great run.
Right, had a great run for a little while, but then the Temptations are still performing to
and
this
guess
day.
What? Guess what?
What?
One of the guys in our show is now on tour with the Temptations. He's an actual Temptation.
Juwan, right?
Juwan Jackson, who I just spoke to before I got on this call. He is an actual Temptation, so like living proof of like, wow. And I'll never forget my first time my dad saw me as a Temptation, like in the show, he lost his marbles.
Really?
And could not compute that like it was me, but Eddie Kendricks, but the Temptation. So he just started calling my name, screaming my name from the balcony.
Did you hear him during
Daddy,
the show?
Daddy, 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 it's me. Like, I'm like, but he's been to shows before, so he knows how to act. But something among that just made him go bananas. And I think that happened to a lot of people of seeing these artists, the Temptations that you knew and you know their music and you love them, to see them in this show form, like some people just couldn't handle it. Like it was like, oh, stimulation overload. But that's incredible. Like that's the theater magic, right? So I studied Eddie. I studied his isms. I got food for thought from our amazing director, Des Makinoff. I worked with the amazing choreographers, Sergio Trujillo and Edgar Galeno. But my, I think my breakthrough moment was when Otis Williams took me to dinner and sat me down and was like just talking to me about Eddie. And like, it was just like, wow, this man lived it. And he's here talking to me about it and giving me this these nuggets of truth that I can now like put into my performance. And when I tell you that I had the most fun doing that show with those gentlemen and ladies and the entire cast and crew, it was just beautiful people, but we got to tell such a fun story written by Dominique Morceau. And so I am so thrilled that that show happened. I'm thrilled that it lives on, and I'm thrilled to be a part of that legacy.
I love these shows that are so expertly becoming these biopics about these, again, I use the word iconic bands or people or moments in time, right? Because while we are entertained and we're getting this great performance from these great performers and the singing and the dancing is awesome, we're also getting a history lesson that we don't realize, that we don't forget. And being able to learn as much as we've learned about the Temps and about Eddie and about Otis and about all these people, like just the struggles that they have to go through and the way that Motown shaped the entire music industry, right?
Totally, totally. Everybody wants to be Beyonce, but does everybody want to put in the work?
No.
You know what I mean? It's a, they sacrificed everything to make this happen. You know, they sacrificed and they went through a lot to do this. And especially in it, well, I'll say this, coming back into the show and seeing how the world was, it wasn't too far off of when they started this journey. You know, so it's kind of crazy how history repeats itself, I would say, but also has it really changed? I don't know, many things. But it's kind of eerie, and it was a really sobering feeling to go through that.
Is it more pressure for you, or do you feel any pressure to go back into Lion King as Simba and maintain that level of expectation, or to do like an Ain't Too Proud and be a real person?
You know, I think that they're both equally as equally as heavy. But what I love most is that like the Lion King, I got to go back into the show for a few weeks on Broadway. And it was after I hadn't done it in about 5 years or so. And so it was interesting to see who I was as a Simba then. And I think it was kind of beautiful, because he's a little more settled, but I still have my youthful energy and boyish charm. but I was a different person, you know, and it was really special to see and to do. But Eddie, I doing it and then coming back to it, it was also really cool because we've all grown and we've healed and we're in a different space. And I got to have a different process, because when I first got the show, I jumped in as an understudy that took over. So I never really had a proper build the show process that I got to have when everything went dark and then we had to build the show back again. So I got my process. So I felt like, wow, how cool. So yeah, it was definitely different.
Oh, so the timeline then, were you an understudy for Eddie when the pandemic hit, and then coming out of it, you took over the role permanently?
No. Or? So when I first got the job, I was hired as a standby. So I covered four of the five Temps. So yeah. I was a swing. And then after
that's a big range, man.
Well, I was back into the jungle. You know, I wanted to do anything. I wanted to sort of explore my abilities, and I got this opportunity and I wanted to take it and run with it. And so I did. I covered a bunch of guys and the ensemble specialties. Like I was doing the thing. And then Jeremy Pope, who originated the role of Eddie Kendricks, was leaving the show, and our director Des gave me the opportunity to step in. But it was a quick step in. So it sort of just happened, you know, and I learned along the way, of course, and they were there for me, of course, but you didn't really have that build the show feeling that you get when you're putting up a show from the start.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of have to like learn as you go. So yeah, that was the difference.
God, I was a swing once and I don't think I could ever do it again. Like,
oh, pressure, I love it.
The pressure.
Well, this is the pressure, but I'm also nuts. Like I know, I learn what everybody does on stage. Like I always just clock what anybody's doing. And so I think that I was also a swing at Lion King out for 6 months or so, because there was a guy that had the gig that was, you know, it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. And he was having a hard time. So I swapped with him. We swapped roles.
Hmm.
So I went from the rhino's butt to a swing.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. It's funny because outside of theater, like I haven't performed in probably 15 years, and my stress, my anxiety dreams. Now I literally just posted about this on Instagram a few days ago. That my anxiety dreams are where it's always Moulin Rouge now, but I have to swing into Moulin Rouge in any different role. Every dream is a different role I have to swing into, but I don't know the words and I don't know any lyrics.
Okay, we need to unpack this. Let's do this right now. What is a song in Moulin Rouge?
What is a song?
Yeah.
They're all meant, Chandelier.
Okay, I was going to make you sing it, but I won't. Because there's so many songs in Moulin Rouge. Wow, what an interesting dream. We should unpack that next episode.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I tweeted about it too, and because Orfe is into dream interpretation, so she
who I love,
right? Yeah, so I tweet. I always tweet my weird dreams to Orfe, so we have these conversations publicly. But yeah, so she was like, "It's anxiety, standard performing dream, blah blah blah." But I'm like, "Why is it always Moulin Rouge?" And in this particular dream, a couple nights ago, I actually did know a couple lines. I was like, "I know the lines, but not the songs." But my Satine wasn't off book, so she was about to go on holding her book.
Who was your Satine in your dream?
No, nobody in my dream was anyone significant. It was all just random dream people, like faceless dream people.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
Do you do like melatonin? Like, what are you taking for bed? What are you doing?
Yeah. I use melatonin sometimes, actually.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, that dream.
Try sleepy time tea. Try that.
But you know what, though? One time, normally I wake up right as curtain goes up. There was another time when then I was in the audience. Literally, it was like showtime. It was that normal 3 minutes after curtain when you're expected to go up. And they were like, "Alan Seals, please go to the stage door," or whatever. And I was like, "What's going on?" And they were like, "We need you to swing in right now." I'm like, "I'm literally sitting in the audience and I've never even auditioned for the show. And you want me to go in?" They're like, "Yep, that's your costume. So go get your costume, put it on." And then in this particular instance of the dream, I went on stage and somehow I was just watching all the choreography and I was doing it in real time, but they put me way at the back of the stage though, so no one would see me.
You blended in.
But yeah, that was,
I mean, speaking of your dream, in reality, the day after we opened Lion King in Las Vegas, our Simba was out.
Uh-oh.
And I had two rehearsals, I think, under my belt. So they put me on.
Ooh.
And I'd only had two rehearsals, and so they had somebody in the wings telling me like where to stand, like football style, like,
wow,
there, get your marks, just know that the light's gonna be there, okay, go,
don't get hit by the set.
And I pulled it off, and that's when I knew I wanted to do this role, because it was such a thrill to just be thrown on and to sort of see how you do.
Wait, that was thrilling?
It was thrilling for me. I could see how. Listen, you've had the dream, so you know what it's going to be. You just got to do it. You know what I mean? You know what it's going to be.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Damn. No, I think, I mean, I guess, yeah, in real life, I can wing it. I love making things up on the fly and improvising and having, you know, conversations. But like, I guess.
But there's something like live theater. You got to be in the moment and make it look good. That's the thing. Like, make it look good. That we're artists. We get to do this. And the audience would never know.
Yeah. Have you ever had a major accident on stage where like somebody did know?
Multiple.
Yeah.
But those are things like costume errors, meaning like sometimes Nala would get stuck in my corset and we have to like shimmy off stage and
like we both fall down. Every time Nala was stuck in my corset.
Right. Or things like that. Or like your mask breaks or something and it's like, uh-oh, you know. Or sometimes for safety, like during He Lives in You, like the ancestors all come out and do this little dance thing behind me. It's an iconic part. So beautiful. But the stage was not working correctly, so nobody can come out on stage. So I had to do the whole number by myself with everybody in the wings like, blink, 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 blink. But I had to do this whole solo moment all by myself. But there's always a plan B. And there's OE and bottom line, make it look good.
I mean, I can't imagine like Alex Brightman recently, like before Beetlejuice, right? Got like hit his head during a performance and got the concussion, right? Like,
you know what though? He is so full out though. He is one of the most full out people on the planet.
Right. Oh, I did a show once where I had to like run out on stage and like make this hard right turn around a set piece. And I had on, you know, my character shoes. And so like I hit the edge of the heel just at that point.
Do your listeners know what character shoes are? They do, right?
I hope so.
Okay. If you don't know, it's a sensible shoe that we wear on stage. They're usually black. I'm a little lift to them.
Yeah, little tiny heel, little tiny lift.
A little kitten heel.
But if you, apparently, as I found out, you catch the edge and you lose all your grip. And so I fell on my butt. I fell on my rhinoceros ass. And everyone was like, and I got up and just continued on my line, But that's like, right. Like that's the stuff that stresses me out. But if somebody goes up on a line, if somebody forgets an entrance, like the stuff that you feel like you're in control of, I enjoy that stuff. Like where you get to improv a little bit. That's fun.
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned for more of the episode.
There are so many things in life that stress me out. You know what shouldn't stress me out? Eating. So we can all eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options for all dietary needs. And you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and even some drinks to help you stay fueled up. Factor is also celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month's Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Say that 5 times fast. Earth Month Eats. Just remember, these no fuss, no mess meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So just simply heat and eat the good stuff. Head to factormeals.com/TTP50 and use code TTP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code TTP50 at factormeals.com/TTP50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals.
I remember doing a scene with somebody on stage and they forgot their line, so we kept on moving. And then all of a sudden later on, they shouted out their line. And exactly. So it's like, oh, welcome back. But you missed it, you know.
They're like, well, that's the wrong cue, but okay, we'll go with that.
They felt like it needed to be said.
Like, I will not miss. They get paid by the line, right. So you know, they have to.
Sure,
they
do.
Have to get it out there. Well, that's amazing. All right, so I wanna just wrap up real quick with 3 standard closing questions that I ask everybody.
Okay.
Just to end the episodes. The first one, just simply, is what motivates you.
What motivates me now is the next generation of young artists, seeing what they're doing, who they are, what they're sort of putting out in the world, and I get to work with them. That motivates me.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Like right now, I'm helping my high school's production of The Prom in Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Go see it March 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Oh, it's such a beautiful show, too.
Well, the school board said that they couldn't do it.
I know.
They took it back, and now they're doing it, and it's beautiful. And
like literally what happened in the show happened
exactly.
In real life.
Exactly. Yeah. But to see how these young people are really, really committing and pushing themselves, it motivates me, and I'm so happy for their success.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me. I need to go see that.
Come see it. I'll be there.
I wanted to go with with Josh Lehman and some of the other prom crew, like the original cast. We were wanting to go.
Yeah. How fun. Yeah.
That's it. I got to text Josh right after this is over. Okay. Cool. Yeah. So next question then. What advice would you give to your younger self and younger people listening now, starting out down a similar path?
No doesn't mean no. It means not right now.
Beautiful. And then last.
I got to do a note too for all my students know this. I say this. If you stay ready, you never have to get ready. If you stay ready, you never have to get ready, because somebody else is going to be ready.
What is staying ready for you?
That means always being present, always knowing your surroundings, being kind to people, you know, just being ready for anything. Yes, and you grow with the punches, being prepared.
Oh, I love that. All right. Hardest question now. Last one. If you could only see one show for the rest of your life, but you can see it as many times as you want, what would you see?
This is where my anxiety kicks in, because how can I just pick one? I think that I would have to say Pippin is a fun one. Yeah, because one of the reasons I really fell in love with this sport is Ben Vereen's performance and like breaking that fourth wall, the leading player, and like the connection and the dancing and the singing and the truthful storytelling and the circus of it all.
Oh, I love that. I love that you called it a sport, because I refer to Broadway often as the Olympics of theater.
It truly is, because we eat, sleep, and breathe this, you mm-hmm. know, and it's and a lot of training and sweat and blood, sweat, and tears go into it, you know?
It is, and then you have to be at the top of your game. Like you said, you always have to be ready, because those who aren't don't get the gig. You're right. There you go. It all comes back.
Snapping. I'm snapping.
It all comes back to that. All right, so of course, let's see. Get tickets to see you at the Broadway Lecture Series on March 11th. You can go to...
I'm going to interject. They say it's a lecture, but I mean, what's a lecture without a couple songs, right? So make sure you...
Are you performing?
You know what I mean? Why not?
Now I'm snapping.
Plug away.
Okay. Think Inside the Actor Studio means Broadway. That's their tagline. March 11th, Stageworks at Studio 237 out in Jersey. Go to stageworksnj.org. And where else can we find you online and connect with you and say hi?
Oh my gosh, please say hi. I'm on Instagram at It's Jelani Remy. That's ItsJelaniRemy. Because I love you all.
That's a very voiceover artist of you. Like
I'm multifaceted, DJW. Thank you.
You need to do like all the radio commercials for you all the time. Like
I kind of want to do a spinoff with Delilah. Like that's one of my goals in life.
It's Jelani.
And Delilah.
There you go. You can get more episodes like this, more of me at thetheaterpodcast.com. I'm on theater_podcast on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. I don't know what I'm doing on TikTok. If anybody wants to help me on TikTok, hit me up, because I don't know what I'm doing. Leave a rating and review wherever you're listening. Help spread the word. Thank you, Jukebox the Ghost, for the intro and outro music. And thank you, Jelani, for making this happen. And special shout out to Robert Bannon too for hooking us up, making this episode happen.
Take a deep breath, make the world a little colorful.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.